Hi everyone, and welcome to Final Score with the Score. Chelsea 3, Crystal Palace 1 in the Premier League. Final score. It's an incredible result. Two goals from Conor Gallagher. Three goals in two games for Conor Gallagher now. Won the game for Chelsea. Didn't have a shot in the first half. I think we set a Premier League record in the first half for the amount of possession without having a shot. So well done, Chelsea, for being record breakers in the first half. And then the second half, got a goal almost immediately. And second half, then kind of controlled the game without, you know, being ruthless in front of goal. Palace had a few chances. But then last 5 minutes, we kind of... We killed it off. So we've got a couple of goals to really kill it off with another great strike from Conor Gallagher. And then, obviously, Enzo Fernandez with the finishing touch right at the end. Another goal for him, which is fantastic. So 3-1 on the balance of play. Probably second half, we had more chances than they did. So I'm not unhappy with the win. Wasn't our best performance overall, but... I'll take the result. Absolutely take the result. We needed it, especially when we're 1-0 down. Coming back to win 3-1. That's a good sign of character, even if it's if you're going to take a positive from it. Yeah, to come from 1-0 down away from home, when we've got a bad record away from home against a low block. So 3 points on the board. That's good. Gets us up the table into 10th, I think. So we're in the top half again, which is fantastic. So we're going to talk about it today. With me, of course, as ever, is Chelsea Rambles.
How you doing? How's everyone doing tonight?
Oh yeah, I'm quite happy about the win. I did celebrate it quite loudly. but a typical Chelsea game. Like first half, it was awful. First half, I was quite upset, to be honest. I was like, oh God, you know, typical. Tons of possession, which is why I don't like possession football. When you have tons of possession, you do nothing with it. And it's just slow, 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 slow. Like, you know, that's the worst thing about possession football. Second half was a lot better. We looked, he definitely got into them at halftime, which is good. And it had an impact because they came out second half much more energetic. And we got the win. So, yeah, something really funny, Gary Neville had to change his man of the match last minute. He was going to give it to Jefferson Lerman and gave it to Conor Gallagher instead. So that's kind of fun. Conor Gallagher, three goals in two games now. I've got some stats, actually, which I'll share later in the episode for Conor Gallagher and Enzo Fernandez this season. They're pretty good. But what I'll do now is I'll do a little review of the game. I'll go through the game and then we'll talk about the game. If you've got anything you want to say about the game, please do come up and request, and we'd love to hear from you. Your opinions on the game, who played well, who played badly, maybe what this is about Poch, if your views of Poch have changed. Anything you've got to say on the game, we'd love to hear from you. Louis is here, so we're going to get the magnificent Louis up to share his game experience, which is going to be fun. I thought the away support was fantastic, by the way. Really, really good today. And we found a new song, it seems, as well. So that was quite... So we'll hear about that from Louis later. But the game, basically made one change in terms of the lineup from the Villa game, which was an enforced change because Reddy Ashir was out for a month, of course, because that's another injury. And Thiago Silva came in for him. And so that was the 11. And we started off pretty slow, to be honest. We were passing the ball around, keeping possession, but not really doing anything with it. It was very slow. We were playing very deep at times. Like, we were controlling the game and not really doing much with the game. And soon Crystal Palace realised that we weren't doing anything with the ball when we had it. And so thought they could get us on the counter and press us, and that's what they did. And they started to do that. And then a great strike, actually, in the first half from Lerma. It was a really great goal. I mean, to be fair, you know, it wasn't like... It was abysmal defending. It was a great strike from nearly outside the penalty area. That put it 1-0 to Palace. And at that point, we were all fearing the worst, of course, because we still had a shot at that point. Not a shot. Like, we've not had a shot, yet alone a shot on target. So, first half, we didn't have a shot at all. I think we have. Did we have one shot at the end of the half? I think we had one shot at the end of the half. But no shots on target. It was... And this is against Crystal Palace's second string team, by the way, because Eze and Elise are not, we're not involved because they're injured. And yet we were looking embarrassing at half time. It didn't look good. So Nkunku came on at half time for Madueke. And about 5 minutes into the second half, we got a goal. Conor Gallagher got a goal. Really good finish, good strike. Another from near the edge of the penalty area. Hopefully he can have more of those. It's fantastic if he does. We had a bit more energy. We were a bit more up for it. We were being a bit more progressive, getting the ball forward a bit more, creating a few more chances, a few more opportunities. Looked a bit more dangerous. The energy was up. Pochettino had clearly got into them, and we just looked a bit better. And so there was a second half, they had a few chances as well on the counter-attack, which is expected. They were a good counter-attacking side, but we dealt with those pretty relatively easily. Petrovic made some good saves. But we continued to have a few chances. Couldn't quite get it on target, couldn't quite get it in the net. It was going to be one of those days. It was going towards a 0-0, 1-1, sorry. And then right near the end, we created a good chance and Conor Gallagher smacked it into the net for 2-1. Right at the death, it was right in the 90th minute, I think, was it? I think. Not long after that, we hit them on the counter again and Enzo Fernandez smacked it in to the left-hand corner of the net. And that was it, 3-1 Chelsea. So that was the performance, that was the game. In terms of kind of Cole Palmer got two assists today as well, which is two late assists, which is nice for him. He had a pretty quiet game, and then in the last 5 minutes he got two assists. So, which is fine for me because he's in my FPL team. So that
helps. Yeah, likewise, he's in mine as well.
Yeah, I think he's my vice captain, so that's nice. Two assists for him. So some stats and Conor Gallagher's season stats. He's played 32 games. He has 3 goals and 6 assists. Cole Palmer now has 8 assists and 12 goals. Enzo Fernandez has played 30 games and has 7 goals. So it's pretty good stats there. It's nice to see Enzo Fernandez in the goals as well. You could see it when he scored that goal. The celebrations when they scored the goal, you could see the team spirit there. They were absolutely determined to win that game. Really good stuff from the team. Really pleased to get the 3 points. Especially with Manchester City coming up at the weekend. So, what are your thoughts on the game, Rambles?
Very, very poor first half. I was getting really, really angry. But then second half, we looked a lot better. But there were still times where it wasn't brilliant. You know, after we got the first goal, it's going to be one of those 1-1 draws, or I could have seen Palace nicking it. But we got 2 late goals, which is very nice. Very happy for Enzo. He looked so happy when he scored that goal.
He did. He did. The celebration was like mental, wasn't it? Like, I think Nicholas Jackson got booked after being subbed for celebrating one of the goals, I think. And now he's one booking away from a two-match ban. So that's going to be fun. We need him to not miss the final. So he just needs to not get booked against Manchester City, if that's possible. That would be nice. So we'll get Louis up with his views on the game from somebody who was at the game. The magnificent Louis Benefitti, my friend and colleague at Chelsea Echo, doing a proper introduction that he deserves. And while he comes up, I'm just waiting for him to come up now.
Well, who's your man of the match tonight?
I think I've got to say Conor Gallagher, really, haven't I? I mean, he showed up, you know, when we needed somebody to show up for us tonight. We needed somebody to take the game by the cojones and... you know, score some goals, drive the team forward. He did that. He did that tonight. You know, he never stopped trying. I thought Enzo was good in the second half as well. I actually thought Caicedo wasn't bad as well.
Gusto had a very good game again.
Gusto was fantastic. I was worried.
He's really coming into his own now.
He was superb today. He was superb. He came off with injury. I don't know whether he came off with injury or not. I'm not sure. Somebody said it might be a hamstring, which I hope it's not. I really hope it's not, because he played really well. So yeah, he'd be up there with man of the match as well, I think. Yeah, all those three played well. Like what about you? Who was your man of the match?
Gallagher just edges Gusto for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. So Louis's up. Fantastic. Louis at the game. Tell us.
Buenas noches, gentlemen.
How are you, Louis? You well, mate?
I'm all right. You know, just on my way back, I kind of was on too much of a high. So I'm now walking towards Norwood Junction, which is completely the wrong way home. But, you know, sometimes it's not about, you know, I'm not even going to bother. I was going to say it's about the journey and not the destination. But at this point, you know, it is late and I would like to get home. And mainly get out of Croydon. That's a big thing. But overall,
yeah, Croydon, you know what? Nice as it is.
Yeah, it's not. But I tell you what, 3 points, job done. That's all we can really say about this situation right now. I think that, you know, the game itself, as you guys have already touched on, the first half was poor. I mean, I'm by no means a stat shagger, as we've lovingly coined it at the Echo. To have XG of zero and one shot in that whole of the first half was a slightly damning number and a pair of damning stats to see alongside that first half performance. But you know what? I'd have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that dressing room, because obviously, you know, we all have our thoughts on Pochettino, and, you know, they're warranted, all of them. You know, everyone, like I've always said, you know, pins are like arseholes. Everyone's got one. So, you know, I would have loved to have seen what he did in that dressing room at half time. I really would have done. Whether it was a proper rocket or if it was just a talking to or whatever he did, it worked. The lads came out, obviously Conor Gallagher. I mean, you know, I'm eating my words after last week, aren't I? You know, saying if the right price came in, maybe I'd think about it. It might just be the fact that I'm on a massive high after that result. But do you know what? Give him the contract. That's very much how I feel. I think that he's been absolutely stellar in today's game. Absolutely stellar. Two Lampard-esque goals almost as well. Late runs into the box against Palace. And it might be the inner passion merchant in me, but I was a big fan, big fan of him running straight out to us and celebrating. And then at the end of the game as well, when he went to collect the ball from a Palace fan as it got out of play. Clearly, they'd said something to him and he'd started grinning. It was excellent. But, you know, he was fantastic. Enzo, two goals, you know, in two games. Another stellar performance from him as well. I thought, you know, the way he, in the second half especially, I think he almost took the game on himself more. You know, I was saying to my friend, I was sat next to him in the first half, there was a lot of tapping the ball about again, holding on to it, looking perfect, looking pretty, trying to find the perfect opportunity. When in reality, as we saw, Chelsea are always better when they're hitting a team in transition. And that's been the case for years. So why we don't use that to our strength even more, I'll never understand. But the biggest thing for me in that game is definitely going to be the fact that the Crystal Palace DJ is going to be kicking himself after what happened at half-time. Obviously, the referee didn't come out. Michael Oliver spent, you know, a bit more time, you know, rubbing vapor rub or whatever he was doing, or, you know, just having, I don't know, having his dinner, who knows. But obviously Three Little Birds came on and it was a fairly unifying experience. Obviously the second half sung the whole way through.
Yeah. We could hear it.
Yeah, it was excellent. I mean, the first half, you know, I thought we were quite poor in stands personally. But, you know, by the end of the game, it was rocking, absolutely rocking. So, you know, it's my first time at Selhurst in a long time. And as much as I say I'm not a big fan of Croydon, I do love an old school stadium and I do like Selhurst. So, yeah, 3 points, big 3 points as well. And on to the next lads, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. It was. I like Selhurst Park. Actually, I've been there a few times to watch Chelsea and for other things, and to watch Palace as well. Actually, because one of my friends is a Palace season ticket holder, so he took me. But you could hear the fans. It was actually quite reassuring to hear all the fans as someone watching the game. You know, really getting loud and really getting behind the team. It was really good to hear. And of course, it coincided with us getting an equaliser, which was really good. Like that just whipped them up even more, which was fantastic. And second half they were fantastic. Honestly, I was, it's a lump in your throat kind of thing. You know, I love it when the fans get behind the team and get really loud and stuff. It's great to see, especially with a young team. You know, I always feel like the young players need that support because they're just starting out, you know, and they're just they're going to make mistakes every so often. So they're going to have bad games. So get behind them, and it does help. I think it does help, and they do feel it. I think they did feel it when they came and celebrated the goal. You could see it. They felt the support. I've just got some stats for Conor Gallagher. His game by numbers. 86% pass accuracy, 72 touches, 38 out of 44 passes completed, 4 ground duels won, 3 key passes and 2 goals. That was Conor Gallagher, a superb performance, absolutely brilliant performance from him. Who was your man of the match, Louis?
I thought it was going to be very cut and dry, and I was going to go straight away and say Conor Gallagher, but then obviously Rambles has made, you know, really good case for Malo Gusto. I thought he was great again. It's tough. I think just for the 2 goals and just for the shithousery, because, you know, I'm a passion merchant, I am going to say Conor Gallagher. But I'm not going to lie, if I'm Reece James right now and I'm watching Malo Gusto play football, I wouldn't say I'd be worried, but I'd definitely be looking over my shoulder, because I tell you what, if Reece gets another big injury, I'm not going to be as heartbroken now. I think that, you know, there's a real strong player in Malo Gusto, and I think that it's mad that he's only 20 years of age. Something we always seem to forget. Stellar performance from him. Enzo as well. I'm going to have to disagree with Rambles on Caicedo. I thought he delivered a couple of good balls. Thought, you know, progressively, he was fantastic. He did get dispossessed quite a lot. He did not always sort of put his best foot forward, I felt. I thought he was the easy target in that midfield. But, you know, he's made up for it. I think, you know, at the end of the day, the most important thing is we've got 3 points. Hopefully it's something he can learn from. Big, big game for him. And, I think, you know, Levi Cole will come into the side and play on at centre-back as well. It's quite nice to see him do that. Obviously, it's a shame about what's happened to Thiago Silva, but, you know, it's good to see that we've got some really good candidates to fill that slot waiting in the wing.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. Malo Gusto, some stats for him as well. 132 touches, 92% pass accuracy, 84 out of 91 passes completed, 28 out of 33 final third passes completed, 7 out of 11 ground duels won, 4 out of 6 long balls completed, 4 out of 4 tackles won, 3 crosses completed, 2 key passes, 2 dribbles. Really good performance there. And like, he was when we were looking for a backup right back for Reece James, he was the number one target, identified by Neil Barth for Project 2020. We got him £19 million. Absolute bargain, honestly. And he's 20. That's right, he's 20. He's going to get better. I keep saying that Reece James's future is probably not at right back, just because of the strain it puts on the body, in terms of the exertion that it puts on his body. But I mean, he's good enough. He's to me, he's a world class footballer who could play anywhere. He could play centre back, right centre back. He could play defensive midfielder, you know, deeper midfielder. He could, you know, he's a class footballer. He doesn't need to play right back if we don't want him to. And maybe we don't need it to. You know, Malo Gusto's done a brilliant job. So, fair play to him. I think that's definitely one of the best signings of the Bowley era. especially, I mean, £19 million, honestly.
That's
absolutely stealing. It's absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, unbelievable, really. Really good work, really good scouting. Deserves a lot of credit for that. And he's having a good season, you know. I mean, we haven't missed Reece James. That's the thing. We haven't missed him that much. Obviously, you miss someone like Reece James. If Reece James is in well, in top form and fully fit, he's on a different level to anyone else. But we haven't missed him that as much as we would do because Malagos has been really good.
Therein lies the biggest problem, score. You know, it's I feel like Reece James is slowly becoming a Ledley King figure, obviously after surgery. But you know, it's kind of a case. When, if we can't afford to have that,
some maybes.
Exactly. But right now we've got a player who is stepping up to the mark, and as you said, is only getting better. And you know, he's proven he can be semi-versatile as well, playing on the left. Obviously, not his best position. We don't see him as strongest there, but you know, push comes to shove. It's a little bit cold out here. He very much is really capable of filling in on that left hand side. But it would be nice to find an understudy of a similar calibre to Malagusta for Ben Chilwell. So, you know, time will tell. We'll continue with what's going on. See, Reece James will come back inside at some point, but right now, viva Malagusta. Absolutely fantastic on that right hand side.
So if Malagusta is injured for Saturday, who would you play? Would you play Gilchrist or Chalobah?
I mean, if it's me, Pochettino's not going to do what I do. I'd shift to a back three. I'd come back to me. I mean, you'd probably end up playing a winger on the right-hand side, so it has to really depend on who that is. Might end up being Maddie Wake playing on the right, and then he just pushes higher. But, I mean, if not, you know, I'd play Chalobah on the right because he's far more, I'd say, manoeuvrable and mobile than Axel Disasi. But yeah, fair than that, you start out with Gilchrist and then see how the game pans out, really.
I mean, Manchester, I think the thing about Saturday weekend is it's Manchester City. So we've got to be set up strong defensively if we can, you know, because we're going to have to deal with a lot of pressure. You know, we can't go all out attack against Manchester City because we'll have to get absolutely decimated. I mean, you're right. Gilchrist or Trevor Chalobah at right back. Play compact, you know. Get Caicedo and Enzo to sit deep. They're better off that way anyway. With Gallagher as well, like he's good at the pressing and stuff. He's good at the tackling, absolutely. And if we can soak up the pressure a bit and try and hit him on the counter, we can do that. We have the players to do that. We have Nkunku. We have Cole Palmer. You know, we have Nicholas Jackson. We can do that. You know, we've got Endo who can play balls in behind. We might have to defend a lot at the weekend because it's Manchester City, and Manchester City are one of the best sides in Europe, if not the best side in Europe. So, and we're not. So we're going to have to play really well to even get anything out of the game. And for me, on Sunday, or what is it? When is it? Sunday or Saturday?
Half past five Saturday, the game is.
Is it Saturday? Right, okay. Lunchtime kickoff, is it?
Yeah, half past five, yeah. It's for late kickoff.
Oh, half past five, okay. Oh, right, okay. Half past five.
That is lunchtime for some people. So you never know. You know, we can't be judgmental here, lads.
No, I'm not going to be judgmental. Some people, that is lunchtime, obviously. Lunchtime is allowed whenever you want to have lunch, just to be clear. We're not sponsored by any lunch company, so I can say that.
give me a few weeks. I'll work on it.
But, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, we're going to have to it's not going to be an easy game. We're going to have to, you know, if we play well, we work hard, we show commitment for 90 minutes, we don't give up, you know, we play the best game we absolutely can and don't let them walk all over us, then even if we lose, we can say, you know, we gave them a game. Because sometimes you're just going to lose to that quality. When you've got Erling Haaland and Bernardo Silva and Kevin De Bruyne and I don't know, who else have they got? Doku, Jack Grealish. You know, when you've got that kind of quality. Foden. God, see, you know, they've got so many attackers. It's, when you've got that kind of quality, it's very difficult to play against, even with the best team. So, you know, we'll do well to keep a clean sheet, you know, in that game. Very well. If we keep a clean sheet in that game, we deserve something from the game. Yeah, it'd be typical Chelsea, wouldn't it, to concede a goal against Palace, Palace second string team, and then keep a clean sheet against Manchester City away. That'd be typical. You know, and then just, you know, take what you can from that game. If you get a draw, that's a fantastic result, honestly, at Man City away. We've got a draw at home, so you never know. And then we've got the final after that. So, and then the cup against Leeds at home. So we're not playing at home for a while, actually. We've still got another couple of games away before we go home again. So, and looks like Pochettino's going to survive at least to the Leeds game now, I would think, because they're not going to sack him after the Man City game. They're not going to sack him off just after a final when you've got a game 3 days later. So, he was under pressure and he's got a couple of wins in a row now. So, he scored 6 goals in the process. So, you know, I'm still of the view that... What are your views on Pochettino now, Rambles?
I'm still not fully convinced. Sometimes I think, yeah, he deserves more time. Then I watched the first half tonight and I just don't think he's getting the best out of the players.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I felt. In the first half, I felt like there wasn't much of a tactical identity there. Players didn't know where they were meant to be. They were just passing it around, just like hoping for the best.
I'm a little bit disappointed how he's using certain players.
I'm the same. Which players?
Carney. I know it is difficult because other players are playing well, but I thought Carney looked really lively when he's played recently. But
I like Carney. I'm a big fan of his. I think he deserves more minutes than he's had. Honestly, I really think he's a big talent, and we need to keep hold of him. We need to be playing him. I really rate him highly. And he loves Chelsea. He's a Chelsea fan as well.
Yeah, he's a boyhood fan.
Yeah, he really wants to make it here. So he would need to make sure that he's getting minutes, even off the bench, you know, the problem is we're never winning by enough that you can bring someone on for the last 10 minutes. You know, like if you're winning 2-0 or 3-0 and you're 10 minutes to go, you can bring him on. Like, no pressure at all. Like, you know, you could take Conor Gallagher off, you know, with 10 minutes to go in that kind of situation because it's highly unlikely that you throw away that lead. And Carney's a good player anyway. He will create chances. I mean, we saw when he came on against Liverpool, he created a goal straight away. He made a great driving run and then got a ball into Nkunku, who scored. And that was really good. And he deserves more minutes. I think he's good enough. I think he's got the right attitude, good work ethic. I think he's unlucky not to play more, absolutely. I've got a stat here. Conor Gallagher was the first Chelsea player to score a 90th minute win in the Premier League since Conor Gallagher versus Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park in October 2022. That was under Graham Potter. So the first time we scored a last minute winner since Graham Potter was manager. Wow. Also, I've got some stats for Enzo. 140 touches, 109 out of 127 passes completed, 86% pass accuracy, 10 out of 15 long balls completed, 4 out of 6 ground duels won, 3 out of 3 tackles won, 1 goal. Really good performance. He's one that I've been worried about not getting the best out of under Pochettino, but he's been the last couple of games, he's been better, and you can see his attitude and his desire to do well for Chelsea every time he plays. So it's really good to see. We've got Tom up. So Tom,
Tom.
Evening, gentlemen. You right?
Yeah, good, mate. You okay?
Yeah, good, good. Much better after that second half than the first half, that's for sure.
Absolutely. All of us are.
Yeah. Oh, huge relief.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a good win. You know, we've kind of dominated Palace, particularly at Selhurst Park. You know, we haven't lost there for 6 years, and that's what, that's 13 wins in a row over them now. So, yeah, it's good to get it. Back to back 3-1 wins. You know, it's not all doom and gloom. I think that's important to note. You know, it's been, I think after the Wolves game and the Liverpool games, it was all a bit like, oh, what's going on here? And it was very negative. And I said some things that, you know, about Poch that maybe were a bit slapdash, should we say. But yeah, it's good to get a couple wins and get going. And then, yeah, as you guys have already spoken about, that City game next weekend is obviously going to be very difficult. But it's nice at least to go in off the back of 2 wins rather than pressure already on the manager and then go into the cup final, hopefully with some confidence after those wins.
Absolutely, yeah. Good points, Tom. And who was your man of the match today?
I'm giving it to Gusta. I think he was. I know Gallagher obviously scored twice, and he played one. He's been getting better, I think, last few weeks. Obviously scored against Villa as well. But Gusta to me is just brilliant. I heard what Lou was saying about Reece James earlier, and I think it just means we don't have to risk Reece James at all now, really, for the rest of the season. Unless he's really, really ready to go.
Absolutely.
Right now, yeah. I just don't really see the point, you know. Let Gusto keep playing. As you said, he's 20. He's, you know, a young player, still learning his trade. And the best way to learn is to play. And he's playing well. I think, yeah, I thought he was brilliant. I thought, obviously, Gallagher was very good. Shame about Madueke. He had a poor half and then got hooked off at half-time for Nkunku. Palmer was not great. Didn't really get involved. And then manages to you know, obviously get 2 assists at the end, 2 very nice passes. Enzo was controlling. I thought Caicedo had a bit of a weird game. Really good off the ball. But as soon as he got the ball, barring that one pass to Gusto for the first goal, he kept giving it away. Sterling again came on, gave the ball away 4 or 5 times. And I was going, oh, what is he doing? And then suddenly he turns it on and obviously kind
he's
of...
He's very frustrating, Raheem Sterling. Like,
he is.
He's massively so.
I mean, I kind of love and hate him, like, because he's got 7 goals and 8 assists or something this season or something like that, which is pretty good. But his performances have been so inconsistent, and his work rate is really annoying. Like, he just doesn't track back enough, you know. And so there's like, he's one of the most frustrating players. It reminds me of Willian, although Willian used to work more. But Willian didn't get the goals and assists that we wanted him to, but he was always pressing, always working hard, always winning back the ball. You know, work ethic was spot on. And Sterling's got the goals, but hasn't got the, you know, maybe if you combine those two players, maybe you'd have a really world-class footballer. and I'm kind of a fan of both of them, but I'm also get the frustrations with both of them as well. Like, because, yeah, I get people being frustrated with Raheem Sterling, 100%. Mm. So, yeah, absolutely. I was a bit disappointed when he came on. Actually, thanks, Tom. Thanks for that. I'm going to get we've got Enter, Raz, and Teams ready to come up, so I'm going to bring them up one at a time. So, what I'll do is I'll probably move some people down from here if that's okay.
How bloody dare you? You can't move me and Tom. We are the hosts of the preview podcast. Well, you can't get us to leave,
okay? Well, I can still not let you speak though.
That's true. That's a very good point. Tom, should we just leave it? Should we just go?
Well, I'm bringing Inter up first, and then I'll bring the team, and then I'll bring the
lads. We'll see you guys later. Ta-da.
Yeah, in a bit.
Yeah, guys. Okay, guys.
Right, Inter, great to see you here again. What are your thoughts on the game?
Good to see you. Thanks for having me again. I think, I wouldn't even say game of two halves. Game of 85 minutes and then the 5 minute spell we had at the end. I'm trying to find the positives in game management, honestly. I think the decisions did us a favour, the substitutions, but was it enough to balance out the mediocrity of the first half? For me, not entirely. I think as I kind of read, you know, many of us were frustrated with that first 45 minutes, and rightfully so. Palace's goal was a complete moment of brilliance. All credit goes to, I think it was Lerma right? If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Brilliant goal. Sure, we could have done better to defend against it, but it happens sometimes. I think we were lucky as well to get our second, because by that point it was evident, you know, the Palace players were looking around at each other and they just switched off at the worst moment. So I think we were lucky, but hey, sometimes if luck's on your side, you've just got to roll with it. And it comes at a good time, because just to really put to bed those few horrendous results we had against us, it's the best time to do so, looking down the barrel of the Etihad and, you know, Man City, who are probably going to be top of the table. And then, of course, the cup final. I think that the last thing I'll say about this game is we were frustrated because of the revered low block. I think that really the pace changed in the second half, and that did help us. And we've seen us be ultimately frustrated against low blocks. So I wasn't, you know, so enthused about the kind of lack of innovation to tackle that.
Yeah.
But I think going into the next two games, we'll be expecting a very different dynamic. So I'm trying to be optimistic. They're two very difficult games, probably two of the most important games looking at the season so far. We definitely need to climb further up the table. And yeah, a cup wouldn't be so bad, but why not? Let's roll with the good times. What a chant. Enzo, that was naughty. Lovely goal. Yeah, really, and hopefully we do hear that chant again, because that was brilliant. And the fans kept going for about 10 minutes, which was...
I loved it. I
put
loved
a smile
that
on my face.
It's very apt for where Chelsea are right now, honestly.
The away fans were brilliant tonight, weren't they?
They were. I was proud to be a Chelsea fan tonight, honestly. That was fantastic. Fantastic. Thanks, Enter. I've got a quote from Mauricio Pochettino. I'm going to bring up teams while I read it out. Very flat the first 45 minutes. Very disappointed. Fantastic game against Aston Villa. We were talking at half time that we need to avoid playing so flat. You cannot perform this way. So clearly he got it. That's probably the polite version of what he said to them at half time. Yeah, fantastic. Okay, teams. Good to see you again. What are your thoughts on the game?
Evening. I hope you're all well. Good to hear.
Hi, teams. Good.
I can't lie. This probably cemented me wanting Poch out. And hear me out. That first half was an absolute disgrace. And probably top five, one of the worst half performances I've ever seen in my entire life as a Chelsea fan. And that is because of some tactical decisions from Poch. I don't know what his obsession is with not playing Enzo and Caicedo closer together. But I can't believe he looked at that Aston Villa game and thought, you know what? Even though they played well, I'm going to play them a bit further apart. Obviously, in the second half, he rectified that, but it doesn't negate that he made that decision. Also, Palmer is much better coming in from the right on the right. I know that he didn't have the best game, but to get to stay in it and to get two assists, and I think that's 21 goals and assists this season is unbelievable for a guy. Let's face it, most of us probably didn't want, cost £40 million. I mean, if he's not in the running for Young Player of the Year or signing of the season, then I don't know what's going on. I'm really happy for Conor Gallagher. I would say the Chelsea favourites scored. When I say Chelsea favourites, I mean the complete opposite. I think, yeah, it's really good that he gets his two goals. He seems to like scoring against Palace. And I'm just really pleased for him that he can kind of had that moment with the away fans at the end. Really good goal from Enzo as well at the end. I think, in my personal opinion, I think Enzo actually had a very, very good game. Even in the first half, he was trying to do the through balls all night, but the runners weren't really doing much. But we get the 3 points, we move on. The next two games are going to be really difficult, but yeah, we'll see where we go from there.
Good stuff, teams. Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you on Pochettino, actually. That first half was like, you know, after the Villa game, I was like, okay, I'm going to give him another chance because this was really good. And if we can play like this every week, I'm fine with him staying. But like the first half, I was like, this is not good enough. There's no plan here. We're relying on players to organise themselves out of trouble. And Enzo is a leader.
Mm.
Enzo is a leader. He's a winner. He wants to win, so he's always working hard to try and change the game or do something, you know, and taking the lead, you know, taking responsibility. That's one of the reasons he's a top player as well. So, yeah, I know it's difficult. Like, I don't think making a change right now makes any sense, to be honest. I think we've got to see it out for now. You know, if it gets really, really bad, then obviously make a change before the end of the season. But
otherwise,
at the moment, I'm kind of keep Potts till the summer and then, you know, probably make a decision then. But, you know, bottom line, I want what's best for Chelsea Football Club, not what's best for any agenda. So if Pochettino does well to the end of the season, we play really well and we're consistent and we climb the table, I'm fine with him staying. I just want what's best for Chelsea. Ultimately, I think we all do at the end of the day. What are your thoughts, Rambles?
I think for now, I'd say keep him till the summer. But I think it could change, you know, one or two heavy defeats. Then his position might become untenable. So I think a lot of fans just really aren't having him.
That's right. I think that's part of the problem. I think there's a lot of fans, and that's become clear over the last couple of weeks. A lot of our fans, were just waiting for him to fail. Because of his Spurs background, they were just never going to accept him. And they're entitled to that view. I don't necessarily agree with that view, but they're entitled to that view, if that's their view. You know, and it was always a difficult appointment because of that. There was always going to be that problem coming up whenever he had a bad period, that the Spurs thing would be brought up, you know, or he's turned us into Spurs, or, you know, he's a Spurs manager. I don't want a Spurs manager at Chelsea, you know, all that kind of thing. Even though, to be fair, we had Glenn Hoddle in the 90s, who was a Spurs legend as a player. He actually got us into the relegation zone and we stuck by him. And actually turned out to do a pretty good job. And actually lasted 3 seasons. But I know what people are saying. And I know that, and I understand that those concerns. Like, I think we haven't had a I still think there's a certain extent where Chelsea fans haven't really got over Tuchel leaving, because everyone loved Tuchel, right? And he loved Chelsea, and it was, you know, it was a mutual affection. I haven't seen a Chelsea manager loved that much, actually, since Mourinho. Honestly, I think for a generation of fans, he was their guy, you know. And I understand that. I understand that, because I still love Mourinho right now, because Mourinho was my guy. So I get it. You know, I get it. And it's the Chelsea managerial position is not an easy position to fill, because it's not just about tactics. It's not just about coaching or man management. It's about personality and charisma and connection with the fans and, you know, and all of those kind of things. Any successful Chelsea manager has to have a bond with the fans, I think. And Pochettino doesn't yet. I don't know who was it. Was anyone at the game? Did he come out to meet the fans afterwards, or not? I don't know. I don't actually know. I didn't see. Is anyone at the game or watched the game? See that or not? If you did, let me know, because I'd love to hear it. I'd love to see if he did. I know that there's a lot of. I've seen a video of De Zerzi diving into the crowd, which I thought was brilliant, by the way. there's a video of him like letting himself fall into the crowd, and they caught him, which is fantastic.
I'm surprised they managed to get him out, to be honest. He was about 4 tiers in to the crowd at one point.
Oh,
I'm surprised they fished them out. Yeah, that's good.
Oh, brilliant! That's fantastic. We need that right now. We need everyone together, I think. Who was your man of the match, teams? I don't know if you said that before.
Probably Connor, maybe Gusto, but I don't, I'm not sure about the injuries. It's making me a bit nervous because but probably Gusto actually just shades it for me, despite Connor's two goals.
Yeah, fair. That's fair. Yeah, he was brilliant today, wasn't he? Yeah, there were quite a few good players today. Actually, there's at least three or four players that played pretty well. Yeah, so we've got some quotes as well from Conor Gallagher. In the second half, the gaffer gave us more structure, but in their half of the pitch to create more chances. It was really good for the manager. It definitely helped us play better in the second half. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Definitely some tactical shifts at half-time.
I actually think that makes Poch not look great. It doesn't make Poch look great. Because why was he not going with that at the beginning of the game?
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. That's not... Yeah, I mean, to be fair, managers often make changes at half-time tactically and stuff. But nevertheless, the fact that you have to make those changes in the first place, you know. I mean, like...
Teams, you know those things, they often sound great in hindsight. The fact that we whacked the one... by two goals in the last 5 minutes, it suddenly it all looks brilliant. But to be fair, for about 40 minutes of that second half, it wasn't the most convincing tactical shift.
That's true. Yeah. It's amazing what a couple of goals in the result does, isn't it? It's the psychological shift, the emotional shift that comes when you win a game. I mean, winning a game late is kind of a really great way to win. I always like it's the most nerve wracking way to win, but it's also the best way to win. Like in a sense, like imagine we won the cup final, scored a goal in injury time. You know, we got the winner in injury time. I mean, like the Wembley's roof would go off. You know, it would be amazing. Yeah, I mean, I went nuts when we scored, when Conor Gallagher scored the second goal, and even more when Enzo scored, because it's right at the death, you know, and all the emotions like pent up right at the death.
I mean, I sometimes look at Poch and he looks like a beaten man to me sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
He looks like he just resigned to his fate that he's going to lose his job sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think that's what it looks like to me. I mean, he looks like a man who knows that his time is inevitable. It's just a matter of when. and, you know, there's been those reports that he's not happy with the sporting directors, which I don't blame him for, because the sporting directors are useless, in my view. They're good at spotting talent, but they're not good at being sporting directors, which is their job. So, But we've had a few instances of where they've been difficult to work with and things like that, and where they've not handled personal relationships very well. So, yeah, I don't blame him for that. But yeah, I mean, he sounds like a guy that's just kind of like, you know, just he's professional. I mean, the one thing about Pochettino is he is very professional. Like he will always do his job. He won't let personal things get in the way of his job. He'll do the best at his job as long as he's in his job. He's got a bit of decency and integrity like that. So even if he's not happy, he'll keep doing his job and he'll keep showing up and he'll keep preparing the team. And I respect him for that. It feels to me like the most likely outcome is that once the season is settled in terms of we qualify for Europe or not, where we're going to finish in the league, have we won the cup or not, that they'll just announce that mutually that he's going to go at the end of the season, and it'll all be very respectable, and they won't sack him and he won't resign. It'll just be a mutual kind of agreement to terminate his contract or something like that.
I think that'd be the kind of thing which suit both parties, because I think, although he wouldn't admit it, I think he'd probably like to end at the end of the season. Because I don't think it's going the way he'd really want it to go.
Yeah, it reminds me of Sarri's season in that sense. And that I think that Sarri wanted to get away after there was a period he almost lost his job around the League Cup final as well. He was very close to losing his job. And I think at that point he decided he wanted to move on at the end of the season and started looking for options. And he found one. He went to Juventus, didn't he? So, yeah, and there'll be plenty of people that want to employ Pochettino. It's not like he's lacking for money or anything like that, you know, or be lacking for interest as well. There'll be plenty of clubs that would be interested in him. West Ham wouldn't surprise me, actually, if David Moyes moves on.
Brighton could be a shout.
Brighton, yeah, they've liked him before. Brighton have liked him before. That wouldn't surprise me. I've got a feeling about West Ham, though. I think that squad is built for him, in a way.
But it's interesting what someone said the other day. It does feel like Pochettino and Tuchel have kind of been overtaken tactically by the younger managers.
Tuchel got it wrong the other day against Leverkusen, didn't he? I still think Tuchel is is very good tactically. I don't think he's been left behind. I just think that, but Xabi Alonso is a really, really good manager. I mean,
he's absolutely brilliant, Xabi Alonso.
He's the next, he's probably the next big one, you know. And unfortunately, he's an ex-Liverpool player and an ex-Real Madrid player and an ex-Bayern Munich player. And he's not an ex-Chelsea player. It's a shame he's not an ex-Chelsea player, because if he was an ex-Chelsea player, he'd probably be a shoo-in to get the Chelsea job. But we're not lucky enough to have ex-players who become world-class managers yet. Hopefully, Cesc Fabregas can change that eventually, and that he can come to Chelsea and the Arsenal. So, maybe. Actually, Peter Cech, I saw, I don't know if you've seen a big interview with Peter Cech for the High Performance Podcast. I highly recommend it. It's really good. He talks about his playing career at Chelsea. He talks about joining Chelsea. He talks about leaving Chelsea as a player. Talks about joining Chelsea as a director, and then leaving Chelsea as a director. And that the ownership wanted him to stay. He decided to leave. It wasn't, the owners did not push him out. They wanted him to stay, but he made the decision to leave. So it's a really good, it's like about an hour and a half long. It's really good. He's on Sky right now, actually, but I can't watch that because I'm doing this podcast. So, but I highly recommend that podcast. It's really interesting, and he wants to get into coaching, apparently. So,
bring it back.
Yeah, I think he's got a good understanding of the game, isn't he? I'd bring him back in his old role if I could. I think that would be even in that role, because he's really good at being a mediator between the players and the directors and stuff, and he's. Obviously, he understands Chelsea culture. He understands the expectations, big club mentality.
He can speak about five or six languages, I believe.
Yeah, and he was really important at helping persuade certain players to join us as well. You know, you've got to remember, he's a legendary player. You know, he's one of the best goalkeepers, you know, in the Premier League. So I think he's got the highest save percentage or highest clean sheet percentage, I think. 47% clean sheet percentage. This is incredible when you look at compare it to others. But so we need people like that back at Chelsea. We need people like that involved in Chelsea, as far as I'm concerned. So I would make him an offer we can't refuse. whether he takes it or not is up to him. I mean, bring Lampard back as well. He's available. You know. Make him an offer he can't refuse. I keep saying this. If you've seen The Godfather, you know what I'm talking about. Well, I wouldn't go that far. anyway, I'm going to bring up Raz for his thoughts on the game. And some more quotes from Conor Gallagher. When we scored in the second half, I thought it was, we've got to go and win this now to get that goal. And then Enzo got one as well. It was an amazing feeling. I've played in a number of positions this season. I'm happy to play anywhere for the manager. I'm happy wherever I play, no problem. What a team player, Conor Gallagher, eh? You've got to love Conor Gallagher, whether you rate him as a player or not. He's to me, he's, you know, everything that I want in a Chelsea player. He's got a great attitude, work ethic, desire. He loves the club. He understands the club. He's a Chelsea fan, you know. I think it's ridiculous that we're going to sell him, but anyway, hopefully the sporting directors will change their minds. Raz, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the game.
Hey, all right, buddy, up the Chelsea lot. Yeah, I just got back from London today, actually. I was meant to go to the game tonight, but I couldn't be bothered. What can I say about the game? It was very poor the first half. just the same. Gusto, it's just incredible, isn't he? Gusto.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
I'm not going to too hype up Enzo Fernandez for the last two games. Yes, fair enough. He was a brilliant goal for free kick against Aston Villa. What won the free kick. But I want to see the, like him and Caicedo in the right position, right? And actually show us what they could do. Because there's there's nearly 300 mil midfielders there. We know there is quality in them both players. We've seen Caicedo last season. I don't state players, never have, but I think Caicedo's having a bit of blitz this season. Every single player does it. Look at Eden Hazard where we had him, and then in that year he had a blitz. He didn't get no goals, no assists. He had a poor season, but players do it. The thing is, I'm not Pochettino out. I can't really blame Pochettino for the mess that's happened in the club for a minute, because we've had a lot of injuries and they haven't had a full, he hasn't really had his full best 11 out on the team. If he had like all these players back fully fit, would we be in a, I want to say, if we were in the same position, in that position, I will understand, then yes, then blame him. But for a minute, he's had a lot of injuries and we've had players coming back in and out every single time from injuries. Ben Chilwell, he still doesn't look sharp. He still looked like a bit off mystery there in a couple of games, but he's just come back from injury. Can we go win the FA, the Carabao Cup against Liverpool? I think we can. I feel like if we could play performance what we did against Aston Villa, on Saturday, like I think we could go and try and do so, get a cup. But Pochettino, as you know, you guys, I've always said to you last time, I won't Pochettino out, won't Pochettino in. I just wanted to come in and do the job. We know he's a Tottenham fan. We know that, yeah. But if he could have got his players, because we all thought this season, yeah, we've heard all these journalists saying in January and let's see you somewhere, he will start getting his own players in. And it hasn't happened. We got rid of Broja, yeah, and we replaced the striker. Yes, people saying Cole Palmer should be in the false nine, but we haven't got a striker. We have actually put Jackson in his main position as a left wing, where he's doing well as a left wing. If we could just get a few couple of players next summer, like a proper striker and an attacking winger, and then probably like Frankie Dion or whatever, I think we'd be all right. But today's game, honest truth, if it weren't for the mistakes for Crystal Palace at the end of the game, I do think we would have won that. I don't think we would. The thing is, Conor Gallagher was outstanding. Them two, one of the goals was outstanding. And
they were.
And then you got Enzo finishing. I didn't know what he was going to do if he was going to pass it and Konku, but it was a good finish. Good finish. No chance the goalkeeper was going to save that. But at the end, it looked like we were a bit sharpened up, and we got the result. Honestly, I think Crystal Palace played well today against us, man.
I think they did. Yeah, good points for us. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, up the chance, man. I thought, but hopefully this season we could do something like finish in the top five. But
we'll see.
We'll see.
Cheers,
up the Chelsea, guys.
Yeah, bye-bye. Take care, mate. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Right, guys. We're going to wrap it up. I've just shared a little video from Sky of Peter Cech celebrating Enzo's goal. He's still proper Chelsea. Absolutely brilliant. Loved it. He gets absolutely mental in Chelsea score. He's still Chelsea. Wish he'd come back. But yeah, check that out when this is finished. Thanks, everyone, for today. Really appreciate everyone who's come up. Louis, everyone else who's come up and shared. We really appreciate all your opinions. Really good conversation, as always, about Chelsea and about today's game. It's really good we got a win. Nice to get a win, 3-1, and to get a few goals as well. Just make sure we put that bad form firmly behind us, push up the table and get some momentum going into the two big games against Manchester City and Liverpool that we've got next. So, yeah, thanks, Rambles. Thanks, Rambles, again, for being a great co-host, as always.
Thanks, as always, guys. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So, thanks, everyone. Have a great week. We'll be back. And keep checking out Chelsea Echo for all their pre-match and post-match stuff. It's all on their Twitter feed. Do check it out. It's really great content, as always. And we'll be back after the next game, which is the weekend. So Saturday evening, we'll be back. And after the City game, goodness knows what's going to happen in that game. We'll see what happens. That should be an interesting space. But so join us then. And thanks for listening, everybody. And up the Chelsea.
See you Saturday, guys.
Take care, everyone.